for that beautiful music, beautiful playing, and beautiful singing. Kids, come on up. Oh, it's good to see you guys today. Did you hear me groan just there? Because I'm 50 now, so every time I sit down, I will groan. Oh, that's a new style. Good to see you guys. Oh, and good to see that enthusiasm. All right, well, I got kind of a tough question today. Have you ever been, you ready for the question? Have you ever been disciplined? You know what that means? That means like chastised. That means maybe you got a spanking. Maybe you got a timeout. Maybe you got you got one? He's got one.
You get in trouble.
Yeah, when you get in trouble, that's right. And what happens when you get in trouble? You ever get in more trouble?
You get a spanking.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that, actually. Spare not the rod, right, Pastor Jerry? What's it say? You shall beat him with the rod.
Beat them with the rod,
they will not die. That's it. So have you, over on this side, we didn't hear much noise over here. You ever been chastised, disciplined?
Yeah.
So there's one yes. Pie? Yes, the siblings say he has. You too? So when that happened, if you can remember a time when you got a spanking or you got disciplined, so was that pretty pleasant?
No.
No? Was that pretty pleasant?
Yeah.
No, it was not. No. It wasn't pleasant. Did you know, listen to this, did you know that every parent who loves their children, every mom who loves her children, every dad who loves their children will discipline them. Will do that, right? It's really the father who hates his children that spares the rod, but the one who loves his children disciplines them promptly. So, here's the question. Does God discipline us?
No.
We have a couple no's here that God doesn't discipline. We got a couple yeses. Oh, I love that. That means there's something to be learned. Yes.
God loves you.
God loves you, and in love, he disciplines us. He does, actually. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I would encourage you later to ask mom and dad or grandma, grandpa, whoever, find out when God disciplines us and why. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we thank you that you are a loving father. We even thank you for your chastisements that we might learn right from wrong. And we might learn to obey you. So we just pray that you'd be with us in this time. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open to 1 Corinthians 11. Today, Lord willing, we will finish the chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 34. And the title of the message this morning is Examine Yourself. Pretty simple. Examine yourself. Today, we celebrate communion. We partake of the Lord's table. And at the center of this text, which I'm about to read, is a simple truth that pertains to your and my partaking of the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. As I said, at the heart of this text is a simple truth that we need to understand before we today partake of communion. The truth is simply this: every Christian, before taking communion, must first examine himself, must first examine herself. Whether young or old, boy or girl, doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord, every time before we partake of the Lord's table, this, what Paul says, applies. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. That also means let a woman examine herself. And thus let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What does it mean to examine something or someone? It's an interesting word. It was used of examining the sky to predict the weather. And we do that. You ever heard this? Red at night, what? Sailor's delight. Red in the morning? Sailors take warning. We know how to observe the sky. That's an examination. That the same verb is used of people examining the sky with a question in mind. What's the weather? And they make a judgment or an assessment based on what they observe. The same word was used of examining metals for purity or money for genuineness. If I hand you a $500 bill, you should see if it's Monopoly money. You should take a look and examine that for genuineness. In each case, this word, dokimazo, means to examine something with a question in mind, and the question is to be answered as a result of the examination. Paul says, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and thus let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, meaning that before partaking of the Lord's table, each one of us must examine our lives with a question or questions in mind. What question? What questions should we ask ourselves as we examine ourselves before we partake of communion? And why is this so important? Remember what we learned last time. We learned last time that there is a right way to take communion. I gave you the five elements of partaking of the elements, but I said that one of them is the main one. And I'm sure that you know it. Do this, say it with me, do this in remembrance of me. And we learned last time that means more than merely calling Jesus to mind, getting him in your thoughts when you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It means more than that. It means that when you take communion, you are saying something. You're expressing something to God by that act. What are you expressing? What are you saying? In essence, you're saying, Lord, I haven't forgotten you. I've not forgotten who you are. You are Lord. I've not forgotten what you did. You gave your life on the cross for me. And I've not forgotten what you said. And what did he say? Remember what he said the night before he was crucified? He said, love one another just as I have loved you. When you take communion, you are reaffirming your commitment to Jesus Christ. I haven't forgotten who you are. I have not forgotten what you did. I have not forgotten what you said. And I have not forgotten what you will do. Every time we take communion, verse 26 says, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. So let a man examine himself with this question in mind. Have I forgotten the Lord? Or am I being faithful to him? There are other questions that we'll consider as we go through, but the question is, why is this so important? The bulk of this text that we're looking at here answers the question, why? Why is it so important that every Christian, each time before taking communion, should consider his or herself? I remember a time when somebody left this church, and I noticed they were missing, and I called and I said, hey, we miss you in the flock. What happened? I didn't like something that was said at communion. I said, well, what was said? You said we have to examine ourselves. Do you know where I got that? I got it from 1 Corinthians 11. Well, I didn't like it because it made it like we're supposed to doubt our salvation. Well, no, Paul isn't saying doubt your salvation. But he is saying examine yourself before you take communion. And why? Why is this so important? Beloved, we're going to answer that question straight from the text. He gives us three reasons for why this is so important. And yes, we do say when we take communion, examine yourself. And we'll keep saying it. And if people leave the church, so be it. We're not going to fail to pass on to you the commandment of Christ, which is to examine yourself. Why is it so important? Three reasons. The first one is in verse 27. Take a look. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's why it's important. Because if you partake of communion in an unworthy manner, you are guilty or liable. You're going to be held responsible. Now, what does this mean? Whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. That means not in accordance with worth or value. Very interesting word here. The root idea of this word was weight. Weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. In those days, you would weigh something and determine the value of something by how much it weighed. And then you were to treat weighty things as worthy. You know, as I studied this word, a rough memory came to mind of something I did as a teen, of which I am very ashamed, but I'm going to tell you the story because I think it very well communicates the idea here. I remember as a teen, and I probably won't forget this, I saw this little black and white photo in my parents' living room, and I hadn't noticed it before. And I picked it up, and being a smart aleck teenager, I looked at the picture, and the guy's hair was all slicked back and everything, and I said, who's this? And I don't even want to say what I said. Who's this something? A word that was very disrespectful. And I am telling you, the next thing I knew, it happened like that. The next thing I knew, my lip was numb. And that sharp, instant backhand was followed by an equally sharp rebuke. Don't you ever speak that way about my father again. It was my dad. And that was a picture of my dad's dad when he was a young man. What I failed to do was weigh how valuable my grandfather was to my father. And my treating the picture of my grandfather in an unworthy manner was the same to my dad as if I had treated his father in an unworthy manner. I devalued Pappy. Paul says here, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner, if you treat communion unworthily, as though it has no value, as though it has no weight, as though it's not significant, then what? What does he say, verse 27? If you do that, then you will be guilty, it says, of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, the word guilty here literally means to be held in. Literally, that's the meaning of the word, to be held in. Here it means to be held in liability, to be held in responsibility. You will be held accountable for that action, is what that means. And what you will be held accountable for is devaluing the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, his life and his death. You treat communion lightly, that's treating the Lord lightly. And you will be treated as, just as if you had devalued Jesus Christ, his life and his death on the cross. And so, as I said, let a man examine himself with questions in mind. One of them would be, am I doing this in remembrance of him? Another question that comes from this verse would be, do I value Jesus Christ? Do I value Christ in my life? Could people see in my life that I truly value the Lord? And is that seen in how I partake of communion? Let a man examine himself with this question in mind. Do I value in my life the Lord Jesus Christ? Second reason why this is so important, look at verse 29. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What does this mean? He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, which I just described, eats and drinks judgment to himself rather than what? What's the opposite of judgment? Blessing. Rather than drinking blessing to himself. Look back at chapter 10. Verse 16 for a moment. 10:16. Previous chapter. Previous page probably. 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless. Speaking of communion. Is it not the communion or the sharing of the blood of Christ? The answer is yes. And let's remember what that means. That means The cup represents the fact that we are sharers in the death of Jesus Christ. We have a share, just like shareholders in a corporation. We have a share in what Christ did for us on the cross and a share in the ransom that he paid for our sins. And when we partake of the cup of blessing, we are reminded of that, and we're blessed if we partake in a worthy manner. We're reminded, what a blessing. We are sharers in the blood of Christ. We're sharers in his death on our behalf. And then what does he say? 10:16, second half. The bread which we break, speaking of communion, is it not the communion or the sharing of the body of Christ? In other words, the bread represents the fact that we have a share in Christ's life, his perfect life, his sinless life. And the gospel is that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, Christ's perfect life, his righteousness, is imputed to your account. By the way, let me ask you, do you have a share in Christ? Because it could be you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. You have no share in him. And I tell you that if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you don't have Jesus, you have no part in him. You have no share in his death for sins. You have no share in his resurrection from the dead. You have no share in eternal life. The good news is you're here today. And if you're hearing what I'm saying, today could be the day of salvation for you. Today, you could confess your sins to God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would be saved. And just like that, you would become a sharer in Christ. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you're a sharer. And this whole letter of 1 Corinthians began with that good news, the gospel, that you're a sharer in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Not only that, that you always will be. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you are called into this sharing, this fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. That means he will see you through to the end. You're not going to hear me say this morning that you could lose your salvation if you partake of communion improperly. You are going to hear me say that you could be severely chastened by the Lord. And no chastening is pleasant in the moment. So back to 1 Corinthians 11. And the simple truth that every Christian, before taking communion, every Christian should examine him or herself before the Lord. Why? First answer is in verse 27, because whoever eats or drinks in an unworthy manner will be liable to judgment for not valuing the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the second reason, verse 29, because such a person eats and drinks judgment, not blessing to himself. Why? For not discerning the Lord's body. End of verse 29. What does that mean? Well, it depends who you ask, I guess. Well, the meaning doesn't really depend on who you ask. But this is very variously interpreted. It could mean for not distinguishing the body of Christ as in the church, and some would take that view. It means you failed to make a distinction about the church. Maybe. Really what I think it is that you're failing to make a distinction about Christ and his life. See the word discerning at the end of verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body? That is the word for making a difference or a distinction. And we do that all the time. We make distinctions about things. This person is guilty of not making a distinction between Christ and everyone else. Or as some would say, not making a distinction between communion and sharing in the body of Christ and any other meal or celebration. Either way, this person is guilty. See, when we are taking communion, you know what we're doing? We are making a distinction. We're saying that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're saying that Jesus Christ is unique. We're saying that the death of Christ and the life of Christ are unique. We're making a distinction. We don't eat and drink to remember anybody else's life but his. I hope you don't. We partake all together to make a distinction that Jesus Christ is supreme. He alone is Lord. He alone is the Savior from sins. He alone sacrificed his life on the cross. And he alone is coming again. What if you don't make that distinction? Then when you take communion, you eat and drink judgment right into yourself. Well, judgment like what? Look at the next verse. Verse 30, for this reason, he says, because people eat and drink of communion, not making a distinction with regard to Christ, many are weak and implied, and many are sick among you, and many sleep. Three words describing the kinds of judgments that people in the church in Corinth were suffering as a result of taking communion lightly. The first one says weakness, asthenes. It means to be without strength, feeble. It can be used of physical weakness. It can be used of moral weakness. They can't stand up against temptation. It can be used of spiritual weakness, seemingly unable to do the Lord's will. It can be also used of mental weakness. This person is feeble-minded as a result of taking communion lightly in an unworthy manner. The second judgment written here is sickness. It's a similar term, but actually it literally means to be without speed. Can't get around quickly. Can't do things quickly. And it was used of being sick. Oh, I feel so slow today. I just can't get going. This is one of the judgments that the Lord had meted out on certain believers in the church at Corinth for partaking of communion in an unworthy manner. Man, is communion serious? Very. What was the third judgment? And many sleep. That's not a nap. That means many are dead. Sleep here is a euphemism for death. But he is not talking about eternal death. He does not mean many sleep in hell. Sleep is used for the believer's sleep. Many God has taken out. That's what he means. So why is it so important that we examine ourselves before partaking of communion? Why is that so important? Number one, lest you be liable to judgment for not valuing the body and blood of Christ. Number two, lest you eat and drink the Lord's judgment to yourself because you make no distinction. And the third reason, which is a bit more positive, is found in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Why should you examine yourself before the Lord, before taking communion? Because you could avoid the Lord's judgment upon yourself by doing this. And notice what it says. It says, if we would judge ourselves. What does that mean? It's the same word that we see at the end of verse 29 when it says, not discerning the Lord's body. If we would distinguish ourselves. That's what it means. If we would differentiate or distinguish ourselves, then we wouldn't be judged. How are we supposed to differentiate ourselves or distinguish ourselves? Here's how. By how we value Christ. See, the world doesn't value Christ. The world does not value his life. The world doesn't value his death. If you're here today and you're not a believer, you don't value Christ. Maybe you come to church, but in your day-to-day life, Monday through Saturday, you don't value Christ. It can be seen in your decisions, how you live, what you do with your time, what you do with your money. And if you come to the Lord's table and you don't really value Christ, you're in trouble if you take communion. Because Christ sees that you don't value him. If we would distinguish ourselves by how we value Christ, then we wouldn't be judged for eating and drinking at the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. So, what should we do when it comes to the Lord's table? We should examine ourselves with this question in mind. Is my life different from the world? Am I different in how I value Jesus Christ? Verse 32. But when we are judged, what happens if a believer in Jesus Christ partakes of communion in an unworthy manner? Well, we already said that person is liable to judgment and may be judged. So what's going on when we are judged? Paul puts himself in this. But when we are judged, what's happening? Are we being condemned to hell like the rest of the world? No, we're not. We're not. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are being chastened by the Lord. This is the word for a loving father chastening, disciplining, correcting, seeking to instill something into his child. That's good news. That is very good news. The sword of the Lord is not over our heads in these verses. Rather, like a loving father, God is saying, you know, you better be careful how you treat the Lord's table. because it's a serious matter. God takes it very seriously, right? But when we are judged, when we who are believers are judged by taking the Lord's table unworthily, what's happening is we are being chastened by the Lord, just like a child is chastened by a loving father. And the Lord does chasten his own, and it's not pleasant when it happens, and it is not to be ignored. Hebrews 12. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Why shouldn't you be discouraged if you get chastened? Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12 goes on to say this, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. And you can bet the people who heard this in Corinth, if they were sick or weak, I mean the ones sleeping didn't hear it. If they were sick or weak, that was not pleasant. And it probably wasn't pleasant for them to think that maybe the reason I'm so sick and weak is the Lord's chastening. But Hebrews 12 says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In other words, if we partake of the Lord's table unworthily, and as a result, the Lord chastens us, he's training us to value Christ, training us to remember him and not forget him. He says, verse 32, when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord for this purpose, that we may not be condemned with the world. Will the world be condemned? Will the world be condemned? Yeah, yes, it will be. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Pretty clear. Same word. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, he will take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. See, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's good news. I am not telling you that you could be condemned with the world if you have believed in Christ and then you partake of communion unworthily. That is not the teaching here. It is saying, let a man examine himself and then partake. For the reasons that I've said, lest you be liable for treating lightly the body and the blood of Christ, lest you eat and drink judgment to yourself for not making a distinction about the Lord and his life. And because if you would distinguish yourself in how you treat Christ and communion, then you wouldn't be judged. You could avoid judgment. Therefore, my brethren, verse 33, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. That was one of the elements of partaking communion properly, right? Let's wait for one another. Let's all partake together. And if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Another element of partaking together is that this is not a meal. It's not a snack. It's not grab how many crackers or saltines that you can get and how many glasses of juice that you can get. No. We are partaking in remembrance. It's a remembrance celebration. Lest you come together for judgment, verse 34. And the rest I will set in order when I come. But already, what has he set in order? He set in order that every Christian, before partaking of communion, needs to examine him or herself. And with these questions in mind, am I doing this in remembrance of Jesus Christ? Right? Am I living my life in remembrance of Jesus Christ? Am I doing this in a worthy manner, valuing Christ in my life, who he is and what he said and what he did? Am I discerning the Lord's body, distinguishing his life, which he laid down for me on the cross, distinguishing Christ as different, as supreme? And is my life different? These are questions I would encourage you to consider as we prepare to celebrate communion. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your love for us. Thank you that you warn us in advance of chastening if we should be disobedient. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning that each one would examine him or herself before we partake of the elements of the Lord's table. And I ask that no one here would partake in an unworthy manner. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.